This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Today we welcome Josh Hardy.
They say I got trouble. They say I've got it bad. They say I've got trouble. You say I've got it bad. Let me tell you about something that I've never had. See, I've got so many things going on in my life. Oh, Lord, don't you hold me back. I've never seen nothing quite like this. I gotta push ahead and don't look back. Let me take a minute and show you where I'm at. They say I've got trouble.
Hello, this is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome Josh Hardy to the show.
Hello.
Good to have you here with us. His most recent release is called Nowhere, and we have been trying to get you on here for a little while, so it's good to have you here on the show and being able to sit down and talk shop with you. Now, you have been to Montana a few times before, I know.
I have.
Yeah, and hail originally from one of our neighboring states in North Dakota.
Yes.
So I wanted to actually start there because I think that certainly Montanans feel some kind of connection with North Dakotans to some degree anyway. And I wanted to just hear a little bit more. I'm trying to remember where in North Dakota you were from originally.
Fargo.
Oh, from Fargo. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we have to start with your roots because I think that your background, particularly with your dad in terms of how you got into music and that whole part of your history is something that's really interesting. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I grew up, until I was about 14 or so, I lived in a town about 20 minutes outside of Fargo called Kindred. And in that town, my father was the chief of police. And he also preached in the church that I grew up in.
Okay, can we just stop there? That right there, that almost sounds like something that someone would make up.
Yeah, I wish, man. It was oftentimes tough to be cool, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because if you get caught, it's like you're in trouble twice, you know, with the boss and the boss. But somehow he was also like with the preaching side of it. He also was a music director with the church, and so he did the choir, and so I began with the choir when I was about 5 years old or so, and that was kind of the introduction into. We would go to nursing homes and things like that, and in between police calls to rescue cats and, you know, drive somebody home from the bar, we would go out and play.
Well, I mean, I think the juxtaposition of those two, you know, very authoritative positions, and then this this obviously nurturing side too, in terms of, you know, bringing music into your life and having that being a big part of that relationship. I think that's a unique combination, to say the least.
Yeah, I think my dad's personality too really kind of lent a lot to it, because as far as like the police side of things, he never carried a gun. Hmm. The only gun that he had in the police car was in the trunk. And as far as the preaching side of things, he wasn't a fire and brimstone kind of guy. And as far on the police side, if he pulled someone over that was drunk, he wouldn't give them a ticket. He'd just give them a ride home. And so it was, you know, he's always been kind of nurturing in that sort of way, not trying to crack down on something, you know, just kind of help people along. And he did that with me. I mean, that's how it came up with the music. Which, I don't know, maybe it would have been better if you would have cracked down harder. I would have practiced more.
Well, Josh, talk a little bit about how you went from just like the church choir experience to moving into making your own music, writing your own music, and getting out and performing.
I started at a little coffee shop back in Fargo called the Frisky Goat. When I was 15, my parents decided to move to South Dakota, where they had grown up. And at that point, I was already pretty active with the music program in my school. And so I was able to convince my parents to let me move on my own when I was 15. Well, I moved in with my older brother. So I continued on with high school from that point, living with my older brother. And there was this coffee shop that was about two blocks away from where we lived. That's where I first saw people that were writing their own music and just kind of generally hanging out and collaborating. And I didn't start writing until I was probably 22 years old. The bands that I was playing with there was never a reason to write, because we were playing in college bars and things like that. And the kind of songs that I had started writing had absolutely no place in a college bar, you know. And so it was a couple of years after that when I started writing and playing in places that were appropriate to do so.
Mistakes times I've been wrong, and all the wrong roads that I've been down, still I won't turn it around. How long can this go on? How long can I hold on? Last night's suicide seemed a sweet solution in my mind. Now I find it seems a drunk man can't decide. Of my mind. Last night's suicide seemed a sweet solution in my mind.
Josh, at what point did you make the decision to take these influences and inspirations and then really move forward and go into, you know, the endeavor of being a solo independent recording artist and, you know, making CDs and getting out on the road?
I made my first record 10 years ago. And but it wasn't until probably about 6 years ago that I started to actually kind of focus and found or figured out that you can't, that I couldn't just exist in my town and play. For one, it wasn't big enough, and for two, I wasn't comfortable doing it. I felt like I needed to kind of go out and play more and see more.
And by this time, had you moved to Madison, Wisconsin?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved to Madison about 9 years ago, and then in the last 2 years, I've started traveling a lot.
Well, and that leads me to my next question, which is, you do tour quite a bit across the States and also over in the UK. You've mm-hmm. done a lot of performing over there. Maybe talk a little bit about the experiences you've had, both professionally and personally.
I think the music is only half of it. I think I find meeting people and staying with people, because especially in the UK, you know, the economies everywhere aren't what they used to be and stuff. And so most of the times we're staying with promoters or people who are members of the folk club that we play at, and so most of the time that I'm there, I'm hanging out with other people, and then you play for 2 hours and then you go back to hanging out with these people. And so it's just an amazing way to see the culture and to see everything there, because you're not seeing it really from a tourist perspective. I mean, in a sense you are, because that's what you're doing, but for the most part you're getting a really close insight, because people don't really hold you at arm's length and treat you as a tourist. Mm-hmm. They actually bring you into their home, and you get to eat the meal that they make. And and it's been absolutely great. I was about to say that everything has been absolutely fantastic, but there was this one show that we did in Nottingham, and we stayed with a couple who were in the toward the tail end of a breakup, and so we stayed. They had been together for 12 years. And they'd been breaking up for 6, and we stayed up within arm's length of each of them until 3 o'clock in the morning, while they both had a drink in both hands, and they were telling us why they didn't like the other one.
Oh my!
And we were sitting on the couch that I was going to sleep on, so I was stuck. And and so we stayed up until about 4 o'clock or so, and got up at 6:30 and wrote a Dear John and left. But otherwise, other than that, it's been absolutely great.
Whiskey, morphine, been good friends to me. Still I've been accused of keeping worse company. The high times and the low times, I've seen them all before. fold. Likely won't reach for a Bible until death's knocking at my door. Sister, forgive me, I've had too much again. I thought I had redemption, but then the morning came creeping in. Women I've forgiven, the ones that I despise, had one thing in common, they both knew how to tell a lie. I think about the future, I fear those days won't come. So I lost my heart to strangers, and now no one left to love. But sister, forgive me, I've had too much again. I thought I had redemption, but then the morning came creeping in. Music's getting darker, women are dancing slow, barrooms turning empty, no place left to go. So sister, forgive me, I had too much again. Thought I had redemption, but then the morning came creeping in. Sister, forgive me, I had too much again. Thought I had redemption, but then the morning came creeping in.
Well, I have to ask you about a story that you told me the night before we're recording this. Certainly, any musician who's had a solo gig, or anybody who's seen a musician who's had a solo gig, can relate to that experience of kind of being in a situation where maybe the music is not in primary importance.
Right.
And yet, sometimes you can maybe have those feelings of connection. Tell a bit about that story. That's a good one.
I was playing in a restaurant, and there were almost as many televisions as there were people in the place, and there were a lot of people. And you know, as a performer, it's so hard to, you can only give so much unless you're getting something back from people and everything. And once that happens, you can ease up on yourself, and everything just becomes a better flow, and everything is better. And so I was looking for just one person in this entire place that I could make some kind of connection with. And I found this guy at the opposite end of a big rectangular bar, and he was looking at me, and he was paying attention. And if it hadn't have been for him, I probably would have lost my mind. But so I spent the rest of the next 2 hours just focusing on this one guy across the bar, because he was drinking his beer and he was, looking, and he looked relaxed and everything was great. And so I finished up and I went to walk around the bar, and I was going to go and say hello and thank you very much, even maybe give him a record. And And as I was walking, I got about halfway around the bar, and I noticed he was still staring, almost like, you know, he was still watching me on stage. And so I stopped, and I turned around, and I noticed that the whole time there was a television about a foot above my head. And so he was actually watching that. He wasn't watching me. He was watching, you know, the Chicago Bulls.
Uh-huh. And yet the illusion that that he was got you through the performance.
Right, which makes me think then that the whole idea that you need people is probably just a head game, you know, and stuff. And so if you can just imagine, you know, they say sometimes a way to get over the stage fright is to imagine the whole audience naked or something like that. You know, maybe you just, you know, you can just transfix yourself and make think that everybody's raging, even though they're raging in their own little worlds.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm joined today by Josh Hardy. Your music has a tremendous, I think, intimate appeal. It's a very intimate kind of music, whether you're playing solo or whether you're working with other musicians. I know this most recent recording, Nowhere, features Trevor Krieger from Billings, mm-hmm. And a Montana musician. And even in situations where you're playing with other musicians, there's a really nice intimacy to your music. Do you find in those situations where there are no televisions mm-hmm. and you can have a listening audience, do you find, you know, that it's really connecting well with folks? Because it certainly seems like it would.
I think it does. I try to make it a point to write as honestly as I can. I don't know, almost write a song as if I'm intending it to have a conversation with somebody. And which you know, it helps and it hinders in that if you're in a place where you can't have a conversation with somebody, then you're just talking to yourself. But when I find myself in the circumstance in which you can actually connect with people and everything, even though you're playing the same song, you know, songs can be interpreted by people a million different ways. You know, oftentimes people won't even interpret it the way that, you know, I may have meant it when I wrote it. But I think that is where these songs come through best, is when everything can be focused, because I think as much as people would be focused on the song, I try to focus almost on that, on them, just to get something across and have that conversation, because that's, I'm not good at non-conversational mm-hmm. music.
Got a story gonna tell you if we ever find time alone. I'm trying not to hold on to something that I know is gone, but I don't know how to let you go. I learned it's not yesterday anymore. Sun still rises in the morning, throws a ray across the kitchen wall. In me reflection, someone I don't know at all anymore. All I'll sense, you walked out the door. I'm learning it's not yesterday anymore. Now won't you tell me how you get along? It's something that you've learned since I've been gone. Now won't you tell me what I've done wrong? But realize that yesterday is gone. Now won't you tell me how you get along? It's
something that you've learned since I've been gone. Now won't you tell me what I've done wrong? I can realize yesterday's gone.
Josh, I wanted to kind of come full circle from the start of our interview and come back to North Dakota and I guess ask this. Do you think there is something that is uniquely North Dakota about your music?
I think so.
Something that maybe you would not have brought forth in your music if you'd grown up in, say, Madison, Wisconsin. Because I can hear it. I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
I think so. Because where I grew up in Kindred, until I was 15 years old, there was no other music. You know, you couldn't go out and see live music, so there was no other influence. The only music that I could listen to was, the first record that I ever got was Ritchie Valens, then I got a Buddy Holly record, and I listened to those until they were practically worn out, and then I would listen to my parents, Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings records and everything. And just that, not that I listened to them over and over and over, but they were always kind of peripherally there. And so the only live music that I got was mine. And since I began performing with my dad at an early age and everything, we were out always playing and stuff and not going out to live music. So I wasn't influenced by other people doing what they were doing. I was just influenced by, you know, taking a ride in the park or watching the grain trucks go by. And so I think that there probably is something there to it. Whereas if I'd have grown up in Madison, you know, there's live music everywhere, you know. And so and now I find too, touring as much as I am right now, I don't get a chance to see other live music. But when I get a chance to stop and watch somebody else, I think it's really influential when you see that. You know, you see how people are doing things, or, you know, just the different chord structures they're using and stuff, and then you take a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Whereas for the first 15 years of my life, I wasn't taking any of that.
JoshHardy.com is the name of the website that you can go to find out more about Josh's music, where he's playing, and as well as all things Josh Hardy. His last name is spelled H-A-R-T-Y, JoshHardy.com. Most recent release is Nowhere. Great to have a chance to talk shop with you here on Musician Spotlight. Thank you so much for coming by the show.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to seeing you down the road.
Sounds good.
Going on that I can't explain. Something like a fever, something like a fire burning through my veins. It seems like I may not find my way out this time.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Josh Hardy. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, and also you can find us on Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those stations as well as iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.